Welcome to the Spirit of Faith broadcast, ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ to help the hurting, heal the wounded, and set the captives free. Now let's join Bible teacher Jim Howard for today's message from the Word of God.
It's almost 10:55, and I'm going to quit about 11:30 or just a little bit after that because I'm coming back tonight. Now, if the pastor keeps you here at 12:30 preaching, that's on him. That ain't on me. But I will be back tonight to finish this message, so you don't need to finish it. Oh, man. This is a short little stool, but I'll stand up for a little while, and I'll sit down when I get tired. About a month ago, I was up here one weekday doing something I do a little bit. I come in here and pray, and then I'm liable to wind up here preaching in the empty room. And so I was in here preaching. I was preaching in a language that I never learned. And I doing it with all these hand gestures. I was preaching to them people in the balcony, man. I was talking to y'all. I could see some of your faces when I was letting you know. And that doesn't need an interpretation screen. That's not a message for the church. That was a demonstration. And so I knew that message I was preaching, I didn't know exactly what it was, but I knew it was about tell me the right word when you announced what y'all were going to be doing on Wednesday nights. It was the basics or fundamentals or something. What was the word?
Basic Bible doctrine.
And so I knew it was about basic Bible doctrines. That's what I knew. Going back to the fundamentals. And so I called the pastor, and I thought, I didn't know how organized he was. I'm not that organized because I wait till the last minute usually to think about things like this. But I knew on the fifth Sunday sometime he had somebody preach morning and night. I called and I said, now that fifth Sunday that's a month away from now, a little over, I got a couple of messages if you can use me. And he said, I already got that lined up. Well, I found out he's got the next fifth Sunday, a half a year from now, already lined up. And so he said, but you can have whatever you want. So, and then on, I think, Wednesday night of that very week, I hadn't said nothing to him about that, about the basics and fundamentals and basic doctrines. And so came to Wednesday night Bible study, and he said, now we're finishing up what we're doing here, and we're getting ready to start on basic Bible doctrines on Wednesday night. I said, there we go. We're going to have some basic Bible doctrines. And so the title today is The Heavenly Assignment. The Heavenly Assignment. And when we have you take a secular job, and your assignment is usually in some kind of contract, particularly if you go to work for some company or whatever, you know, and you're going to have a contract, and that contract will tell you what you're supposed to do. It'll give you your assignment, and it will also tell you what the benefits are. Now, I'm holding up a Bible here if anybody happens to be listening to this message. Here is our written assignment and benefits of the job right here. Amen. And usually on a secular job, if you don't do the assignment, how do the benefits work out? Not too good. In fact, you'll not be out hunting another job with another contract. But not only do we have this written contract on our job or in the kingdom of God, but things will come up that you need to do on your job that are not written specifically in that contract, but then the boss will tell you, here's what I need you to do. And if he needs to do that to motivate you, he says, and here will be the results of what I need you to do. And so I want you to get this idea that we've got a written word here that God spoke. The last time something was recorded in here was about 2,000 years ago. Now, he started out with a fellow called Adam, and he just told him a couple of things. We're going to look at them here in a minute because I said we're going to have basic fundamentals. Well, the best way to start on basics is start at Genesis 1:1, and I'm going to look at that here in a minute. And then he told Adam a couple of things, you know, about taking care of the garden, but then he said he just had one rule, can't eat off of that tree. So Adam's Bible wasn't but about one page thick. And he had trouble handling that. And then we kind of think the Bible, the Old Testament, was here forever. But Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. And that was somewhere around when Moses got the law off the mountain. That was somewhere around 2,750 years after Adam was here. Almost 3,000 years before they had really had a written document that we know about. Everything was, God was speaking to people, but speak to the prophets. The prophet would tell them what they needed to do and what they needed to know. But all that word was coming out of God. Now, I need me three volunteers, but don't anybody raise your hand yet because I'm fixing to volunteer them. I need Larry Honeycutt and Colette and Wayne up here. Just come up here to the front. And I told Larry in the parking lot, I warned him, I said, it won't be hard. It won't be hard. But we know in Genesis chapter 1, the very first verse in the Bible, it says in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God. I'm going to stop right there. In the beginning, God. Now, these are all members of one family, as you can see. Get the mic up here and hold it for them or something, and the handheld. Wasn't it laying there beside you? Yeah. And just so we can hear them, and just tell everybody what your name is, first name and last name. You who?
Larry Honeycutt.
Colette Honeycutt.
Larry Wayne Honeycutt, Jr.
Okay, dokie. Now you can get out of the way and sit down, but if I need you, I'll tell you. So I just want you to give you a little illustration here. I'm going to call the roll, and when I call your name, I want you to just raise your hand when I call your name. All right, Larry. All right, Wayne. All right, Colette. All right, Honeycutt. All right, did you notice that? They all answered the Honeycutt, didn't they? Yeah. So we got Larry the father. Father Honeycutt. We got Miss Honeycutt here, and we could also, if we're going to start assigning jobs to them, if this family had a spirit, that's the spirit of the family, who would that be, Wayne? And so this is Spirit Honeycutt. And over here, Son Honeycutt, his name is also Wayne, we know. His job is a teacher. And so he talks for a living, so we'll just call him Word Honeycutt.
All right.
We got Father Honeycutt, Spirit Honeycutt, Word Honeycutt. Which one of them's Honeycutt? All of them. All right, I'll just, for the time being, now we're not being sacrilegious, this is just for an illustration. I'm going to change their last name from Honeycutt to God just for a few seconds. So we have Father God here, and he's got a job to do. We got Spirit Honeycutt here, and we've got, we could call him Son Honeycutt, or we can call him Word. I mean, Son of God, or God the Word. Now, they all had their own jobs. And so we know that, yeah, I'll let y'all go back in just a minute. We know that the first thing the Bible tells us, in the beginning, God. Now, as far as this family is concerned, in the beginning, Honeycutt. In the beginning, God created the heavens, earth, and so forth. And then God said, when he started doing the creation, it said, and God said, and that's when something happened. In fact, let me just go. You got it up there, and back up to the first verse again on Genesis 4. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved, and my translation I was looking at said hovered. Spirit of God hovered upon the face of the waters. Could you just hover for us a little bit?
Okay.
That'd be hard. All right. And then the next, and then God said. Now God's fixing to say something. And when God says something, what form does it come out in? Word. And so I suspect this fellow right over here, this part of God right over here, was the one that spoke up and said, light be. Light exist. And it was. Now, how do I know? Can I verify? You say, oh, that's sounding strange, Pastor, because we all know that it was God, and we say God. We know God means Father. No, God means the whole package. And so the part of God that talks said, light be. Words came out of his mouth. Thank y'all. You can go sit down. You did a fine job. I'm proud of every one of you. All right. And so I can verify that John's Gospel, chapter 1, John's Gospel, chapter 1. See how quick they are back there. They're good, I tell you what. In the beginning was the what? The Word, you'll notice that's a capital W. Who are we talking about? We're talking about the Word. We're talking about who about 4,000 years after that we start reading this story, he got an earth name. He didn't have an earth name before that. And that earth name was Jesus. They wasn't calling him Jesus up in heaven. He was the Word. And then finally, when he did get an earth name, by the way, it was Yeshua. Spelled J-O, in our letters, it's spelled J-O-S-H-U-A. We call it Joshua. Yeshua, Yeshua. You change that over from the Hebrew and go through Greek and go through a bunch of other language, and finally you get to English, and they wound up calling it Jesus. My name in the Old Testament, my name was Jacob, spelled with a J. J-A-C-O-B, Jacob, heel grabber, that's me. I might not be first. Most of the time in my life, I wasn't first, but I was hanging on. And then it goes through this, and it goes through English, and it winds up being James. I learned that from Billy Brim, by the way. She was going to sign the book she gave me, and she said, I got to put your name in Hebrew, and she showed she put it. She told me that's Jacob, Jacob. That's where you came from. So, and by the way, I got notes scribbled all over stuff over here. And if this was one of my theology students in class, and they turned this in, and I said, you can't preach off of that mess. But God was giving me thoughts, and I was putting those thoughts down. And so when we saw there over there, you don't have to pull it back up, but in Genesis, well, do it, because I'm going to look at several things in Genesis. Just go back to the first chapter. And and I'm getting back there myself. I'm going to pull it up in my Bible, and y'all, we can look at it on the screen as well. And I think I'll get my stool back now. And, hey, Leo, if you don't mind, give me that one with the green pad on it. It's taller. Have to do what we can up here. And by the way, I was really limping bad when I got in here, and I had Pastor Reed put his hand on my back and pray for me, and I'm better already. But when it says in the beginning, God created heaven and earth, that word God, and then all down through this chapter, when it says God, the word in the Hebrew is Elohim. You don't need to know that, write that down necessarily. It won't be on the test. But the word is Elohim, and the reason it's good to know that is because that's a Hebrew word, and it's a plural Hebrew word. When it says in the beginning, God, it's plural. And so we know right now, we're not talking about one part of God. We're talking about Father, Son, Holy Ghost. I grab it from there. Thank you, sir. All righty. Yeah, I told him one with the back, but this one is taller. I learned that in the past. Oh, yeah, that's good. And what I'm focusing on about our assignment, and I'm going to do some introduction this morning and continue it tonight, is the fact that God has already spoken to us, and he still speaks to us.
Yes, he does.
And when he speaks to us, he'll tell us what we need to know today. We've got the general word of God right here. We've got the logos in this book. Now, this book can become rhema, and we'll talk about, some of you know the difference. One, logos basically is the word heard, and rhema is the word spoken. Rhema is also that word that we need to hear about a certain situation that gives us faith in that situation. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema Christos, the spoken word of Christ. Well, if I need the spoken word to give me faith, God needs to keep on talking to me. And you say that in a lot of churches, and they'll think you real strange. When I was still in the denominational church, and I had begun to learn some stuff, and the Holy Ghost had gotten a hold of my life, and I made some comment about the Lord saying something, and my pastor said, people that say God talk to them make me nervous. I said, people that say God don't talk to them, especially a pastor, make me nervous. I had a good friend that was a member of a certain well-known denomination, good pastor friend, and he was coming to LCU, and His name is Pastor Ray Rippey, by the way. Some of you knew him. Gone on to heaven now. And he had a friend of his that was, I think, in that denomination he was in, said, well, I don't believe God talks to people, you know, since the Bible was written. And Ray said to him, were you called to the ministry? He said, yeah, I was called to the ministry. He said, who called you? So a lot of folks have, they got their doctrines, but they have trouble, you know, living them out. But if you get to really get to thinking about it. Now, do I usually hear the audible voice of God? No, I usually don't. There have been a couple occasions where I have. One of them was in 2001. I was coming down here for one of our pastor prayer meetings that we've been meeting in this building for a long time, and this is a blessing to the pastors that meet. And I believe the folks that meet here on Tuesday and are praying are blessing to the church too. In fact, we got one of our folks that got to thinking about we're drinking the church's water, and I think he's left a $20 bill in the refrigerator the last couple of weeks. All right, so we like to give and pay our way.
Just gave the secret place away.
A secret place, okay, well. And I had somebody nod their head back there, acknowledge, yeah, the money came in. And so I was coming down this hill right here. This hill's important to me because right up here at the top, at 712, I believe it is, that little old tan house with a chain link fence around it now on the left, right up at the top of the hill. I courted a girl there that I wound up marrying and staying married to for 47 years in that house right there. Her granddaddy owned all this property here, all across the railroad track. Mr. Aaron, wait a minute, he's had two names. Two good Bible names, but one of them was Aaron Fur, and he owned all that property across there, all the way across 29 where the storage buildings were. That was her granddaddy, and all the way up here and all the way up and down this hill. So that hill's well known to me. I traveled it many times, but that one day I was coming down that hill, and I had started a ministry, and I was talking to the Lord about what our mission statement was, and I hadn't heard anything yet because sometimes he doesn't tell you as soon as you ask. And I was riding, coming down, about to turn in, and I heard somebody in the back seat of my car say, help the hurting, heal the wounded, and set the captives free. I said, what? And that voice said, help the hurting, heal the wounded, and set the captives free. And I knew what that was all about. And so we still got that as a mission statement. At one time, we expanded it a little bit and made it, because we got the hurt and helped and the wounded healed and the captives free in the church, and so we expanded it. Now we're training disciples to help the hurting, heal the wounded. We're training folks to do that, help the hurting, heal the wounded. So God talks to you. If you hadn't heard from him lately, you need to check on your relationship. If your wife hadn't spoken to you lately, you need to check on some things. All right? So we get into Genesis chapter 1, and we see, and you know all this, but I'm telling you, it's basics. He created. And in the second verse, it tells us that the Spirit of God was moving upon the face of the waters. And you've heard that it's kind of like that word in the Hebrew meant kind of like an old mother hen brooding the eggs. She's getting things ready to happen. The Spirit's setting the atmosphere. Now, it's interesting to notice that the Spirit is moving, but nothing has happened yet. When's something going to happen? When the Word comes out. The moving of the Spirit is setting the atmosphere for the Word to work. And I didn't plan on going here, but I'm going here because my something talking to me just said, go here. And so in Acts chapter 2, and you don't need to put it up because I'm just going to jump around a few thoughts in there. In Acts chapter 2, you know, it says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all of one accord in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven the sound of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it rested upon each of them. And they were all, including Mary the mother of Jesus and all them other folks of chapter 1 said was in that room. Be sure your Catholic friends know Mary was a tongue talker, all right? Be sure anybody, any of your other denominational friends that think that's weird, remind them that Mary did it, Paul did it, all them people back there did it, and you do it. And it says they all began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. So glory, man, the Spirit moved. Woo, glory. And you know what? Not one single person got saved up there in that room because of that. But what that did was those tongues and the folks, they weren't shy about it because the folks down in the street heard them doing it. And we need to get the volume up maybe a little bit. I don't mean with the sound. I just mean the spirit volume up a little bit where it reaches across Harris Street over there and up and down the street a little bit. What's going on over there? So what the tongues did was draw a crowd. Why do we need a crowd? Because they need to get saved. Well, what does it take to get them saved? How shall they believe unless they hear? How are they going to hear unless there's a preacher? Well, you know what? They didn't. If you'd have called the roll up there that morning and said, how many in that 120 in that room? And you'd have said, how many preachers in here? I doubt seriously Peter would have raised his hand right at that moment when they first got there. But the moving of the Spirit got people's attention, drew the crowd, set the environment, brooded the eggs so they're ready to hatch. Got the crowd out there, and because they come in there and said, man, they some kind of party going up there. And people drinking some stout stuff here at 9 o'clock in the morning. And Peter came down to them and said, and all of a sudden he realized he's a preacher. And said, these are not drunk as you suppose, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And he begins to quote the scripture about your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Old men will have dreams. Young men will see visions. I know I'm a young man because I'm still having visions. I've got some dreams too going on, by the way. And so Peter, he just began with Jesus and preached Jesus to them. And wasn't it 3,000 people got saved at Peter's first altar call? Man, that'll get you started off in the ministry. 3,000 folks got saved because the movement of the Spirit drew the crowd. We see the same thing back here. The movement of the Spirit is getting things prepared. And then verse 3 says, and God said. And God said, let there be light, or light be. And the lights came on. And if you go on down through Genesis, and I'm not going to read all of these things, but in verse 5 it says God called, he said it, and then he named it in verse 5. You can look at that. You see it right there. And God called the light day. He said it. He spoke it into existence, and then he named it. He told it what it was. When he said he called the light day and the darkness he called night, the light can get up all it wants to and say, I'm dark, I'm night. And I'm going to say, no, you're not. Well, yeah, I feel like night. Well, you ain't night, you day. Y'all could make a sermon out of that, I think, couldn't you? But I'll tell you what, even when you get away from darkness, will try to masquerade itself as light and tell you it's light. And we got a world of that going on right now. We got a world of darkness going on and saying, I'm light. And that light over there, that's darkness. Them people over there, they hate folks. No, we don't. We love them. We're trying to keep them out of hell. Hallelujah. All right? So we see him over and over again. And in verse 6, God said, and then verse 8, he called it. He named it. And then verse 10, God verse 11, God said, and verse 14, God said, and so over and over and over again, it was that spoken word of God, that rhema, that called things into being. Now, man wasn't here yet. And I want to look at a couple of things in here in about verse 20. And God said, he had divided the waters and so forth, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that has life. You know what that is? That's fish. Aren't you glad, Leo? Amen. Aren't you glad, Pastor Jackson, that you've caught one or two? Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament. So that's the fish and the birds. And God created great whales. And every living creature that moveth upon the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind. Every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. So God spoke that into being. And then it says God blessed them. And he said, be fruitful and multiply. He did the same thing he did with Adam. He blessed those fish and he blessed those birds. and said, be fruitful. And then he gives them their assignment. He blessed them. But actually, he did. I've said that a little wrong. I said he blessed them and gave them his assignment. Giving them their assignment was the blessing. Because he blessed them. He blessed them saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters of the sea and let fowl multiply in the earth. And even in the morning of the first day. So he spoke their assignment to them. And in that assignment was the blessing. And then we get down to verse 26. And God said. Now you remember up here standing with them three folks up here. Honeycutt said. The Honeycutts said. Let us. Now when it says God anyway, it's plural. But it says, let us. They're talking about this thing. We're having a family meeting here. I tell you what, let's do. Larry might have called the meeting. Then Larry Wayne Jr. took over. But let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them, that's the man, right? Now what kind of man was this? He made one first. I'm not talking about something strange here, because when he got ready to make the woman, did you notice he didn't have to send off to heaven for parts? He reached down in that man, that thing he created called man, and took out enough DNA. I believe that DNA he took out must have had, is that XX chromosomes? Is that right? And the rest of that male had XYs. I think I got that right, and some of you scientists tell me. So he reached down in there and got some chromosomes and left the Y's out of them. And took that, we know he took a rib out, the Bible tells us. Now I've had people, here's just some good basic Bible doctrine right here. I've had people say, and you have too, well, you know, I got to count every man I know. If God took a rib out, there should be less on one side than there is on the other side. All right, I have an answer to this. I'm not sure I got this answer from heaven. I might have made it up. But the only thing I can figure out is Adam, man, originally had a rib right across the front here that held his belly in. And that's the one God got. I may not agree with that. But listen, Brother Hagin used to say, it don't cost any more to have a little fun as you go along. So God, he said, let's make a man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. This is going to be part of man's assignment. Dominion over the fish of the sea. Aren't you glad? Over the fish of the sea. Charles Capps taught you to talk to the fish. When you go fishing, talk to the fish. Tell them to bite your bait. And over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over creeping things that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. All right, listen. Some people are mixed up about that. I have compassion for those people. I tell you the truth, I think most of them are being controlled by a demon. Others are just decided that that's what's popular now, and we'll just do that too. And some of them, let somebody, could have been a teacher at school, wasn't the kind we know, but there are some out there that got an agenda. And somebody talked them into it. But at any rate, we got to keep going back to the truth. Amen. Now, I'll tell you about something the Lord revealed to me in a dream, and I think I might have shared this on Wednesday night. I'm not sure if I did or not. But this was not too far back, about a week or so ago. I had a dream. Now, I suspect that you're like me, but almost all the dreams I have, they're real exciting while I'm dreaming them, but as soon as I wake up, I can't remember what it was. I remember it's exciting. I'd like to know how the story turned out, but I can't even remember what it was. But this is one of them rare dreams that you have every once in a while that probably means something. Because I had this dream, and when I woke up, I had all the details. I knew exactly what it was about. And I even, of course, what woke me up is I need to go to the bathroom. That's okay in the middle of the night. But I was in there thinking about meditating on that dream, and I got it planted down in here. And here's what the dream was. It was a little boy, and I don't think I was either of the characters in the dream. I can't say that for sure. I'm not that clear about what the dream was. I just know the story of it. But it was a daddy and a little boy, and the little boy was, I'd say, 9 or 10 years old. And the daddy had just told the little boy, the little boy had gotten a pocket knife and was going to put it in his pocket. And the daddy said, no, son, you can't have that and take it to school and all, because it's dangerous for you to have a pocket knife. And then in the dream, the daddy said, in just a second, the daddy said, son, wait a minute. I need to apologize to you because I just lied to you. He said, there is nothing dangerous about a 10-year-old boy that's trained about how to handle a pocket knife. There is nothing dangerous about him having it in his pocket or taking it to school, either one. I just lied to you. I just told you what the world's trying to tell you. And so I knew that dream was about more than pocket knives. That dream's about, we got to start refuse to agree with the darkness calling itself light. We got to refuse to agree with anything. And you think, well, I'm a Christian, so I should just be nice. This person here thinks that he's a girl, and so I should just congratulate him on going out for swimming or for track and being able to beat all the other girls. No, say, listen, sir, and he'll say, no, that's not my pronoun. Well, it is. You just don't realize it. But mister, listen, I've got compassion for you because you mixed up. You need help. But you ain't no girl. And I tell you what, I think the church and even regular society is starting to come to the conclusion that we made a mistake, not all of us individually, but we made a mistake agreeing with all these lies, agreeing with darkness calling itself light all this time. God said, you dark, you light. You man, you woman. So, we get down through there, and so at verse 28 says, and God blessed them and said unto them. God's already talked. God has talked to his people since the first one. God blessed them. Now, he's already calling them plural. He made a man, but it said he created him male and female. He created him male and female, created he them. He let them have two pronouns right now. We know it gets over. He's probably already made the division right here, but chapter 2 goes into the details of how that all happened. Chapter 1 is just kind of a laying the groundwork out there. Chapter 2, he goes into the details about how he did it all. And he blessed them, verse 28, and he said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And then he has spoken, he's given them assignment, he's blessed them to do the assignment, and he did all that by talking to them. He blessed them by talking to them. When I go to lunch, me or somebody at the table is going to bless our food. You know how we're going to bless it? We're going to say, food? You don't have to do that. But we're going to speak a blessing over it. The blessing is spoken. The blessing is spoken over your children and your grandchildren. And it's not always when you say, I'm blessing you. You're blessed. It's every word you speak to them is a blessing or a curse one. And so we got to think about our words. They're supposed to be containers of blessing. Now, even to these folks, and if I sounded a little too hard, but sometimes you got to be hard to make a point about folks that are gender confused, I'll call it. Even those folks, we got the text. The Bible says we speak the truth, but how? We speak the truth in love. And there's a way of doing that. And they might not agree with it. They might get mad at you, but don't do it with animosity. Do it, speak it in love, but it's got to speak the truth. Genesis chapter 2 and about verse 4 goes into the details of God doing that creation. Good gracious alive. That clock's really moving back there, but I'm anticipating that. Verse 4, These are the generations of the heaven and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth. It was typical for the Jewish people to state, do an introduction, and then add the details. And good Bible teachers tend to do that too. That's what I'm doing this morning. I'm doing the introduction this morning. We're going to get the details this evening, more about it. But in chapter 2, he's going to go into more detail about the creation. And verse 5 says, let me read verse 4 again. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the heavens and the earth. Who made this heaven and earth? God did. Which God, by the way? Them. Amen. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. That's an interesting verse right there. He hadn't put any plants here yet. You know why? Two reasons. He hadn't made it rain yet, and he didn't have anybody to take care of them. And we know that he gave Adam an assignment about that. And verse 6 says, but there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. Now, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. He breathed into his nostrils. Now, this evening, we're going to get into talking about inspiration. And that means, in every word that's in this written word of God, it says that it was inspired. And that word means, and if you've been coming on Wednesday nights, you've been hearing some stuff about inspiration, because that's another thing. I already heard from God about inspiration, and then I come to Wednesday night Bible study, and we're going to start talking about inspiration. So I know, I'm on to something here. But that means that God breathed it out, and so it's there for us. And we, if you want it, you got to inhale and breathe it in. God put the word out. If you want it, suck it in. And it tells us in verse 7 as far as we need to go right now. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. I'll do a little bit of that word breath, by the way, we see it again tonight. I might just start right there. But when it says he breathed, the word in the Hebrew is a Hebrew word, It's neshama, and you don't need to necessarily, you can look it up yourself, neshama. And that word means wind, breath, air, spirit. In Greek, there's an equivalent word that is pneuma. That means the very same things. And it's translated in the New Testament. The word pneuma is translated just like neshama is in the Old Testament. It means spirit. That was spirit back yonder to back pew right now. She's back there hovering, moving, making things to work good. And you know, that's kind of interesting. Did you know the spirit of the Honeycutt family was in here this week, moving and hovering, preparing for the word to go forth. She's the one that cleans up in here. That's pretty good. That fit right in with her job, didn't it? Doing the cleanup work. And so we'll find it in the Greek there's an equivalent word. I'm going to give you just a little bit of introduction of where I'll start tonight. But this was about a month or so ago, a little bit longer maybe. I'm trying out the gym at the YMCA in Harrisburg. I've been to one at the hospital for 14 years, and I decided to go over there to the YMCA gym. They don't have a pool over there, but they got some exercise stuff, and you don't have to wear a mask over there. Atrium Hospital hadn't got the word on that yet. And also, they got better hours. They open all day long. They don't close for lunch, where you got to work around that. So it's a lot of things for more. So I was over there at the gym, and then I left there, and I was going to go get me and Wanda some health food, and so I was going to go down to AJ's there at Harrisburg and get us a good healthy hamburger and bring it home for lunch. And so it's just a few blocks from GM to over there, and I was driving. I told the Lord, he talks to me, but it's good to talk to him also. I said, Lord, I've got some assignments. I hadn't come up with this word assignment yet for a sermon title. I've got some assignments that I have been slack, and I'm not getting accomplished. But a lot of it, I don't know how to get started and how to approach getting it done. So when I said that, it must have been a matter of seconds, because it takes less time to download something than it does to speak it word at a time. And I just must have got it downloaded, because I got a dozen words just like this. They came one after the other, so it took a few seconds. And the first word on that list was inspiration. And then I know the second word was dedication. And then I don't have them all in order right now, but there was some about information. That's figuring out, but learning in the natural what you need to know or in the Bible. I'll give you a list of them later, probably tonight. And I got on down on the list a little ways, and I saw the word perspiration. And then I saw the very last one on the list was a congratulation. And that sounds like, well done, good and faithful servant. Now, you know, it's good we're going to hear that when we finally get to heaven. But you can hear that at the end of an assignment even. You did good. You know, it's good when your teacher gives you A+. I mean, we know A is the highest grade, but when you get that A+, she and puts it out there, very good work. And it thrills the teacher when you get to write that too, doesn't it? Okie dokie. But the first word on that list was inspiration. And so the Lord's been talking to me about that. And that's what we're going to talk about some more this evening. And I'm amazed how quick, about 40 minutes can go by. And it's amazing that they went by. I had this one little old page of notes down here, and I thought, well, I don't need to write any more on here because I got all these. But we're going to quit right there. No, I'm not going to claim no more time. We're going to quit right there, because we're going to come back tonight. You need time to go home, get you some lunch, go home, get you a little nap, and the teacher does too. But lay the groundwork, did a little introduction. Invite your friends tonight. I'll just go back and start with that little story about Harrisburg probably, and maybe say a thing or two before we got new people coming. And then we're going to get into more specifics, and we're going to talk about the inspiration, particularly about how to take care of our heavenly assignment. How's that? All right, praise God.
You have been listening to the Spirit of Faith broadcast. This is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and financial support.